Yo. Hey, guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show. Do you get this question at your practice? Do you take my insurance? That question is such an important question to your practice. Whether you highly participate or you don't participate at all with insurances, your team has to know what to do with that question. And if they do, it can change your practice. Well, today, we have an amazing replay of a webinar that we did recently. It was actually our highest attended webinar, I think, of all time. And the title of it is, Turn the Do You Take My Insurance Question into a Winning Conversation with Ariel Jude and Christina Byrne. So I thought we'd put that on the podcast. This is the audio version. If you go down to the show notes, you can actually watch the video version with your team. I highly encourage you to do so. In here, we walk through all the details behind the question, how insurance really works in a dental office, and what to do when you get this question. So please listen to this. I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you soon. As a part of the webinar series, we've put together the To the Top Study Club. So we basically do three things. We have our Best Practices Association community. We have our To the Top Study Club, which is doctors only. And we sometimes have other team members or significant others come. And then we have our Pro Coaching Program. And this has really been one of the most fun things we've ever done. So it's a great study club that we have two groups of 50 now going through concurrently. We meet quarterly. We also have virtual sessions and an incredible curriculum. And everybody shares best practices. And so as a result of registering for the webinar today, guess what? You get a golden ticket, which means you get to come for free. It's so cool. I encourage everybody to come. Like if you're a dentist, you want to just check it out, you can come for free, kick the tires. If you hate it, you can leave and go, hey, that I didn't love it. High five. Take all the information. Take it all. And we'll treat you like an amazing guest. And that's how much we believe in it. I know you won't just leave and not come back, but it's an awesome opportunity for you to really just kind of see what we do and be around some other great thinkers. So using this golden ticket, what you'll do is you'll reach out to Gina on our team and she'll facilitate the whole process and roll out the red carpet for you. So come join us. Our next one will be in April and there'll be two sessions and we'd love to have you.
Absolutely. And then in addition to our study club, we also have our BPA community.
Yes. And so just like I mentioned, you know, the BPA community, this has been a secret project of ours and our clients have been well aware of it. We put all of our webinars back there, all of our master classes, all of the content that we've created for more than 27 years. We're constantly updating it back there. And now it's available to the public. So you can check it out at joinactdental.com/home. And we welcome you to show up. You know, team members, dentists alike, here's where you're going to find some of the best thinking. I love this profession so much. I'm a geek about this stuff. We're going to be on a relentless pursuit to find the best practices from the best practices, best tools, best verbal skills, best financial arrangements, best anything you're going to find in dentistry. We're going to put it all together. And there's an incredible community of people back there where you can ask a question. We have an app. You can take it with you. So check it out. It's like $99 a month. Who can't afford $99 a month? Where you can learn how to solve some of these problems. So check it out.
Yes. And then we have the QR code. So if you want to go to actdental.com/BPA, or you can use this QR code and it will take you right to the registration page.
Yeah. I promise you, you'll love it. We're constantly adding new things every single week.
And as Kirk, you mentioned, my favorite part is that it's just the whole community. So you're not only having access to the ACT team members, but it's everyone that has worked with us. And they're able to provide tons of perspective and experiences.
Yeah. And I was liking that. There are questions that I'm like, I can't even answer that one. So please help anybody. And it's amazing. And it's not necessarily limited to just your practice. Some people are asking like personal, like balance questions. It's fantastic. So.
Absolutely. And then I would say, you know, because we're talking insurance, so a lot of this goes towards the admin side of things. We also have an in-person live workshop with Miranda, who's another one of our amazing coaches, who will be running the administrative course that we have coming up in March. So there's a QR code that you guys can go ahead and use that. It's also on our webpage and Eventbrite as well to sign up to get more administrative hands-on expertise from Miranda.
Yeah. And speaking of Miranda, she's showing up now. But we have divisional courses here for not only the hygiene team, the assistants, and the administrative team. And you'll see this is one of the best offerings we have. Is if you have somebody on your admin team who really wants to be extremely motivated and think differently, send them, bring them, come yourself. I promise you, you'll love it. Ooh, look at that. And our director of operations is showing up. Chris is on too.
I'm so sorry.
Welcome.
Thanks. I couldn't get into Zoom, but now I'm here.
All right.
We are just in time. We're about to start talking about insurance and how to navigate it into winning conversations.
All right.
Love it. Love it.
Okay. So let's go ahead and jump right in. So why do we want to educate ourselves and educate our teams around the world of insurance? And several reasons, right? Is the number one reason that why is it's a high anxiety. It's a tough conversation for team members to have in regards to dental insurance with our patients. So we want to make sure that we can help lessen the anxiety of our team members to improve the overall patient experience. It's also important for us to navigate the narrative. So if our patients are only getting insurance information from the insurance companies, right, from their HR, from their friends, right, from the Facebook groups, you're not 100% sure what narrative they're being told and what perspective they're being told. And as we kind of mentioned earlier, it's sometimes not always, you know, valid information. Everyone has the best intentions, right, but we never know specifically that plan and that insurance. Sometimes those patients just don't get the correct information.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of nuances in the dental insurance world. So the better our team can understand it, the better we can communicate with our patients. So it's a lot of work for our team to understand. So you can only imagine for the patient's side of it and understanding the ins and outs of the insurance. And then last but not least is we want to build trusting relationships with our patients, because that's going to be the foundation of the patient lifetime and the patient loyalty to your office. And once they're loyal to your office, then hopefully they become an advocate and then they start referring their friends and families to your practice. And the only way to do that is so that we can be as honest and as helpful around their dental benefits as possible. So I want to go through a little bit of the customer or patient engagement cycle with the dental office. So right first, there becomes the awareness. So either the patient is experiencing pain or they have some sort of interest and they say, hey, I think I need to go ahead and schedule an appointment. I need to get into a dental office. So then they start the consideration phase. So then they say, okay, you know, I'm going to consider going in, or they schedule an office visit. They start talking to you as the team member or the dentist and saying, what are my options for this solution that they're needing? So if then you help them come up with their options and their treatment plan. Then the patient makes a decision on that treatment, if they're going to move forward with it or not, which then leads to the support that we're able to provide that treatment for them. Once our patients are receiving that dental treatment and we're having that relationship with them, they start having that loyalty as they continue to have positive experiences with our office. And then, as we said, hopefully that turns into advocacy where they're referring their friends and family to you. One of the main points of this is the loyalty and the patients having to have a positive outcome and a positive experience. And as we all know, if we fumble the insurance conversation, the positive outcome instantly dwindles. You could have done an amazing job, clinically, and then if we fumble that insurance and make the patients, you know, feel like we weren't helping them enough or that we just weren't able to educate them, that unfortunately that experience then decreases. So we want to make sure our teams are educated in the insurance process to improve and increase that positive experience. So the first step is knowing some of the basics of the dental insurance. And this is just a short list, right? Not, you know, it's not a comprehensive list, but these are some of the major terms that it's really important to know. What's the difference between a participating provider and a non-participating provider? So a participating provider is someone who is contracted with an insurance and they are willing to take an agreed upon fee schedule and willing to follow any plan restrictions or plan guidelines that that insurance company has set. Non-participating provider is still able to bill that insurance and still able to work with the patient. They just do not agree to all of the terms that the insurance plan has set. And they are able to bill their full office fee instead of an agreed upon fee schedule between the insurance company. So covered services, non-covered services, these are really important for you to know. Covered services are things that are going to be allowed in that plan. So this is plan specific and there's no black and white or there's no comprehensive list of what's going to be covered by every plan. It really is dependent on the insurance company, the group number, the plan. So you really have to watch to see what is covered, what is not covered. And then if there's any limitations to those coverages as well. So the biggest example that we mostly know of is fluoride, right? That's covered up to a certain age because, you know, the insurance then says, hey, they don't no longer need this. So we have to know that, yes, it was covered up until this limitation, right? Or our hygiene, you know, they get 2 per year. That would be covered services.
And I think too, just to add on to that, it's not only dependent on the insurance company. As Ariel said, it's the group number as well. And that is related to your employer and what they choose to be your coverage. So now it's not just the insurance kind of dictating what can be done. Your employer is also doing that too. So it really, everything is limited in the care of the patient based on outside third parties. So trying to manage that is really helpful for the doctor to understand, like, what exactly can we explain to the patient? And to Ariel's point in the previous slide, the more we can build trust with the patients and give them the information and tell them the truth, the more they're going to have loyalty to us. So even if the truth is not what they want to hear, it's still the truth and we're still able to communicate honestly with them. And that is going to build that trust and that loyalty with the patient.
Absolutely. And going along with that, right, is telling them maybe what they don't want to hear is mm-hmm. those non-covered services. So as the plan or the employer picked, right, that these are the options for those patients, there may be non-covered services that the patients will not have any benefits towards. And we need to especially be able to inform our patients of this when we know about them, right? Because no one wants to get that surprise bill in the mail or that mm-hmm. surprise EOB that says, hey, we estimated you have coverage, but actually it's a non-covered service. So helping our patients understand what insurance benefits will go towards and what they may not. It's also important for the office to know their non-covered services, because in a lot of situations, you can then bill up to your full fee instead of having to take that contracted rate. So it's really right. important to know ahead of time before giving the estimate.
And sometimes those insurance companies will still put an adjustment or a recommended adjustment on the EOB for a non-covered service. So it is really important. And most states do not allow that. So there are still some states who will say that you have to take that adjustment, even if it is a service that's not covered. But check and make sure that you are in a state where you're able to bill your full fee for a non-covered service. That's really, really important.
Absolutely. And then with that, right, is we need, so what's the fee schedule? And unfortunately, this is definitely plan specific, right? It's not even just an insurance or state specific. Every plan may have their own fee schedule, which is saying what is the allowed amount for each individual service that you provide. So it may not, and it most likely will not match your office fee schedule, right? That's when you become, if you're a participating provider, that fee schedule is an agreed upon term.
I was just going to say, if it does match your office fee schedule, you need to raise your fees.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Oh, yes, because we've seen that. I've never seen one that has been worth taking.
Right.
So then once the insurance or the plan has that set fee schedule, then they give you also a reimbursement percentage. So then they say, okay, I'm going to reimburse either you, the provider, or the patient, a percentage of that fee. So now that's where these treatment estimates come in to, we have to take the percentage that there is going to be reimbursed of that fee schedule. And then we can go ahead and figure out the difference from there. So that is plan specific as well. So it's really important for us to understand this and not thinking that it's just a general coverage.
And this is where communication with the patient is really important too, because they get their packet from their employer and it says they have 100% coverage for preventive services and 80% for restorative and 50 for major, usually, right? So they are, you know, they're not thinking that it's of the allowable. So we have to be able to communicate that with the patient and make sure that they are aware of that, you know, when they come in with those estimates.
And then EOB, right? Explanation of benefits. So this is when we submit a claim. And then when the EOB comes back, it is hopefully attached with a check, but it's going to show what was covered, what was that fee schedule, what was the percentage, what is the patient's portion, and what was the adjustment. So it's going to tell you everything you need to know. And one thing on there is make sure you're looking at these EOBs, because it's also going to tell you what fee schedule is being paid upon. So if you are participating or non-participating with specific insurances, it's still important to watch that, because sometimes you'll see, okay, now it's being billed under a different fee schedule. So you want to make sure that we're double checking and we're auditing those EOBs to make sure that everything's being entered correctly and that you know really what's going on with your insurance billing. And then last but not least is a pre-authorization. So this is something that you would send to the insurance saying, you know, we want to go ahead and do these services for the patient. Would they be covered? And then dental, a lot of the time they'll send it, right? And then they'll give you an estimate of what the coverage would be and an estimate of the patient benefits. So these would be extremely important to have good verbal skills around, because what we have seen is that even though you send a pre-authorization into insurance, it still will have that saying that this is not a guarantee of benefits and this is not a guarantee of payment. It's just at that time. So it's a general, yes, in this plan, it would be covered. This is what it would be covered at, but it's not necessarily patient specific all of the time. So just be careful to have good verbal skills that if your patients are wanting you to send this, that you make sure to inform them that we're happy to send it. I do want to let you know it's not a guarantee of benefits and it's not always 100% accurate. Okay, so now that we have a good idea of the terms to know in the dental insurance, we can continue diving in. So understanding the insurance process, right? So the service is provided. So the patient comes in, they agree to the treatment, we go ahead and provide that treatment. And then when we are posting, right, or we're walking that patient out, we're putting the appropriate codes to support the treatment. We're making sure that is attached to the appropriate provider. So that way we can send off a clean claim to the insurance company. We'll submit it. to with your full office fees, even if you are a participating provider and you are contracted and you are taking that agreed upon fee schedule, please submit the full office fee for those procedures so that insurance knows the true value and it will help increase, hopefully over time, the reimbursement rates. It also will potentially allow you to collect more in the future if your fee schedule is not up to date. So we go ahead and submit our claim. Insurance then processes that. And then hopefully you get a payment, you will and get the EOB, right? And this is going to tell you if it was reviewed or if it was approved or denied. And then if it was denied, you know, definitely check what that denial reason was. And this is where we want to audit those EOBs. Sometimes, right, that's when it comes back as it was a non-covered service. Sometimes we can see, you know, if it was a frequency limitation or if they needed additional information. So some of the time you're able to resubmit or send in an appeal or ask for a peer-to-peer review. So that way we can try and get payment. But the only way you're going to know how to do that is if you're reading and auditing those EOBs. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, we're going to enter that payment according to the EOB onto your into your practice management software. You're going to allocate the payment to the correct procedures. And then if there's any write-offs or adjustments that you need to take according to the EOB, then you'll go ahead and enter that in. And then the claim is considered closed. So that's the whole insurance process in a very simple way to understand it.
I wish it always went that way.
Yes. So as we keep talking about, right, if you're a participating provider, you know, what is the impact of that? So a lot of the time you'll hear that you're a PPO, so you're participating in that organization, right, for that. And we want to note, you know, that we believe dentistry is the greatest profession in the world. You'll hear Kirk say this at least once a day, that, right, and we believe that you should be able to practice dentistry any way that you want. When you want, where you want, and who on whoever you want, right? So we don't want you to have all of these limitations because that's the flexibility and the freedom that dentistry offers. However, what we're seeing is that there is, with more insurance participation, it's starting to threaten that freedom for a lot of doctors and teams.
We see this happening all the time, and every year the write-off percentages increase. You know, they go from, I think last year we were looking at on average, it was like 42-44%. And Kirk, a couple of weeks ago, you were saying it's getting closer to 50%. That's just not a way to practice. It's very difficult to really do the work that you want to do with the people who you want to do it with and have it be profitable and feel good about what you're doing when you're only collecting 50 cents on every dollar for the hard work that you're doing.
Yeah. And I got to be careful because this is where I get all hot and bothered on this thing, because I love dentistry. And just the bigger why in this, and Chris, you're exactly right. If you listen to any of the podcasts, you're going to see we bring on a lot of insurance PPO experts. Now, they don't have a national database for any of this stuff, as you can imagine. What's worse is some people are writing off as much as 55%, and they don't even know that they're doing it. So when you're writing off 33%, you're working one out of every 3 days for free, and it makes no sense to even do it when it starts to climb like that. Now, we're not here to slam PPOs, or maybe we are, but the ultimate thing is a lot of you went into dentistry for that freedom. And Ariel, you mentioned the freedom, and the more and more it saturates your practice and you don't even know that it's happening, the less and less freedom you have. And if you follow medicine at all, I live here in Milwaukee and I won't mention, you know, how challenging it is. A lot of the major health, you know, centers here have changed the compensation plan for doctors. So all the good doctors that could retire, retired. The ones that couldn't retire are waiting to retire. That's what the front desk person had been told me at my primary care physician, which makes me believe, you know, dentistry, we can still hold on to this and not let it go in the direction that medicine went. So back to the whole freedom, there's freedom of choice, freedom to do what you really think is the right thing to do. So I totally agree.
And as Kirk mentioned, right, we're not here to say that we're anti-insurance, because we definitely know that insurance and dental benefits are important to a lot of our patients. And it's not true that we're anti-insurance, right? We want to utilize those insurance benefits still for our patients. We just want to see all of you to be profitable so that way, as we said, right, you have the freedom to choose how you do your dentistry. I was talking to a doctor this morning and he's like, my cash flow, I just, you know, I'm not able to buy the materials that I want or use the labs that I want. And so we talked about, you know, auditing and seeing which insurances are serving, because he does have some insurances that are serving him and reimbursing at a good rate that there's no reason that he wants to part ways. And then there's others that are making him make those tough decisions. And we talked about, you know, is even if you don't participate, you still could give the patient an adjustment or a courtesy, but now it's your choice. Now you're doing what you feel is right instead of just insurance telling you that you have to.
Yeah. And Dr. Baird Straub, who is now our CEO, and, you know, he said it best. We can really go down a rabbit hole about PBO versus not. It's really what percentage of your patients are paying your full fee. You know, how much of your full fee are you actually collecting during the course of the day? That tells you how involved and how, you know, how much freedom you really do have. So we have to be careful. We're not anti-insurance. If anything, you're going to be insurance friendly, but you still have to know your numbers and be profitable on your side of things.
Right. And to Ariel's point, our patients are, they love their insurance. They're so happy that they have dental insurance or dental benefits. So the last thing that we want to do is criticize that or make it sound terrible. I mean, I've been in offices where I've heard the admin team say, oh, that's the worst insurance ever. And I'm like, oh no. You know, we have to remember that our patients really value that. I mean, a lot of times that's why they're in their job. They mm-hmm. sought out an employer with, you know, quote unquote, good benefits, good for the patient. So it's all about re-educating our patients, but also about just honoring the fact that they like their insurance. So we have to remember that and not, you know, not come down on their insurance.
And that's a great point, because a lot of time they don't get to choose, right?
Correct.
Back to it's the employer or their HR that determined this is the plan that's available. So if you're telling them that that's the worst insurance ever, well, they didn't have a choice in it.
True.
And what are they supposed to do, right? So now we're making them feel bad about something that they have no control over. So instead of, right, let's go ahead and talk to them of how insurance works, and let's go through some benefits. If you do want to go to the non-participation side, how it can benefit you as the team, you as the office, as the practice owner, there's lots of benefits of non-participating for those insurances that are not serving you. So if you're the practice owner, as we talked about already, you get more freedom in your treatment options. Your income is going to reflect the true value of the services that you're providing, which will then lead to higher profitability. The higher the profitability means the more money that you're able to reinvest into the practice, so into the facility, the technology, into your CE, into your team members, right? And then you're able to choose what materials and labs that you want to use to be able to provide the best quality of care for your patients. Right. So how does non-participation affect your team? Right. Same. They get to have that confidence that we're providing the freedom and treatment options, and we know that this is going to be patient specific. They have a higher chance to achieve and receive bonuses, raises, and benefits, right? Because you as the practice owner are having a higher profitability for the office. So they're more likely to be able to share that with the team. And we know that team members want to have that chance of a bonus or a raise or a dental or increased benefits. It is also less time invested in the insurance management side of them. We won't say that it gets rid of it completely. They still have to verify benefits, right? They still have to bill claims, but it is less work and time invested in it. And so, which then allows them to spend more time with the patients so that they can have better conversations, build that value, have improved experiences with the patients, because they're having those conversations instead of of spending the time, you know, verifying the insurance or fighting to get different claims and different services paid for.
Or just doing the investigation, like we said the other earlier about, you know, checking those EOBs and making sure that all of the adjustments are the correct adjustments. You know, if you're not participating, it's very clean. You know, you're, here's your fee. Here's what they paid. This is what the what the patient is going to owe. So it just makes it very, it just makes it so much cleaner for everybody. If you ask your admin team member what their biggest frustration is, it's typically dealing with the insurance companies and trying to figure out what the estimate is, because then they have to think of the fee schedules. So, so it just makes life so much cleaner and easier for your team member.
So as we have a happy practice owner, we're going to have a happier team, which then leads to happier patients, right? So now they're able to choose which services that they're going to receive from you, because they're not having those restrictions and limitations to care, right? Once they understand that they have the capability to do what's best for their health and not worry about what insurance is saying they can and cannot receive. They're going to have that more time for that relationship-centered care, right? To have those conversations. It's not going to be a quick in and out. They're going to know that you really value them as a patient because you're spending that time with them. They're going to have the confidence that you're not cutting corners in the materials or the technology or the lab, so that they know that they are truly are getting the best dental treatment possible because you're not having to cut those corners. So as you can see, there's really a lot of benefits of non-participation with different insurances throughout your practice. So with that, right, we want to be intentional, and we keep talking about how do our team members educate our patients and how do we talk about it. We don't want it to become a negative value, right? And we also don't want to make it the only thing we talk about with our patients. Yes, our patients value it. Yes, they know that it's important to them. But we also know the more that we talk about it, the more that our patients are going to think about it and value that insurance. So we want to take that conversation from insurance to their patient care. So we want to make sure to move away from those unnecessary insurance predeterminations. As we said, they're not always going to come back as a guarantee. Well, they're never going to come back as a guarantee of payment, right? And they're not always going to come back accurate. So we want to move our patients away from feeling like they need to have those predeterminations in the confidence of, am I going to receive this care? And we want to recommend our appointments and our treatment based on their need and not the insurance frequencies, right? Moving away from insurance conversations to patient service and patient care. Yes, we want to still help our patients understand the limitations of their plan, right? So that they know that insurance, their dental benefits are not going to help with this. However, they've already discussed the value and the importance and why they need this care. They're just now talking about the limitation as far as getting that dental benefit, and hopefully will not talk them out of receiving that care. So with that, right, keeping it in a very positive, we want to give you some tips on how to talk dental insurance so that way you can have your confidence. So the first one is educate your team first, right? So how are we going to educate our patients if we don't educate our team? Everyone in our team needs to understand the general idea and the terms of insurance, even our clinical team members. So it does not just our admin team members, because patients are going to ask your clinical team members, and you want to make sure that they understand the general overview, even if they have to give a handoff to your admin team member for the more plan specific information. So as we said, right, your team wants to know the rules of insurance. What are the benefits? What are the limitations? And knowing that each plan is unique. Unfortunately, we wish we could tell you there's a black and white, like you just need to know this and you're good to go. But knowing that that, and so that your team understands, then they're prepared, they're gonna have to look into each plan. One thing too is if you're working with an outsourced agency, they can help in the efficiency in reviewing those dental benefits, right, and the verifications and the breakdown. So that could be something that your team can take off of their plate so they can spend the time with the face-to-face or on the phone conversations with the patients. So it's just an option there for you and your team members. And then every team member 100% needs to know the difference between in-network and out-of-network. And what does that mean to the patient and how to communicate that to the patient, right? A lot of us know, okay, in-network, we're going to go ahead and take that adjustment. Out-of-network, we're going to go ahead and able to bill our patient. Yes, well, we know that, right? That's not how we want to communicate that to our patients.
Right. There's internal phrases and external phrases.
Absolutely. So participating, right? So as we said, the team needs to know in-network and out-of-network. So if you are in-network, you're a participating provider. So you are going to contract it to honor that fee schedule. And then you're going to have to know and you're going to have to help educate the patient so that they know their contract details. So what happens if they deny the procedure? As we said, check with the plan and check with your state. Are you able to bill the patient for that portion or for that service? What do we do if that plan considers a procedure included in another procedure, right? So for example, is the core included in a process of the crown? If it is, what does that mean? Am I able to bill? Do I have to adjust that off? And you're going to have to know those contract details. You'll have to know the umbrella and insurance company policies. So if you're participating, right, does that mean you're able to be picked up by an umbrella plan and be billed through another insurance fee schedule? So if you do, right, that's where we say audit those EOBs so that you know what fee schedules you're paying under. And then you're also going to want to know, what if they downgrade a procedure, right? You'll still see that a lot of procedures are downgraded to another procedure. So the composites are downgraded to amalgam, right? And then you're like, I didn't provide that service, but it's insurance's way of being able to provide less dental benefits for the patient. So you're going to have to know, can you charge the difference? Do you have to take that additional write-off, right? All things that you're going to have to know and your team's going to have to know if you're a participating provider.
I would also as a little side note to that, sometimes, and I have heard this, where the insurance company will recommend that you downgrade the procedure. And I would say, do not do that. That's, you need to bill whatever it is that you really, really did. So whatever you did in the mouth, you write down in the chart and you put on your claim form, your ledger, whatever it is. And if the insurance wants to downgrade, that's on them, right? So they will sometimes downgrade a perio maintenance to a prophy. But if they tell you to downgrade it yourself before submitting it, do not do that. That is not kosher. So you definitely need to just bill whatever it is that you truly, truly did, and then let the insurance company downgrade if that's what they choose to do.
Correct. And I mean, you'd be surprised on how many patients have called when I was at the admin. They said, well, my insurance said you should have billed this code. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, but we didn't do that procedure, so I can't bill that code. And I would go back and I would tell them, I was like, actually, insurance doesn't want me to bill that code because then I'd be committing insurance fraud, right? So insurance is saying they should have billed this if you wanted dental benefits. Mm-hmm. But as Chris said, right, you have to bill out what you actually did, because once it's in that chart, that is a medical record and you want to make sure that you're not falsifying those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a question in the chat. So if the insurance downgrades, then can we collect the difference? I'm not clear on that.
That is plan specific, and state specific. So I would say typically you can. However, you're going to really have to check if mm-hmm. you're able to with your plan and the state. So
we had several, because it's been a long time for me practicing, and we would have we would have that listed in the estimate. So if we were doing a composite and we knew the insurance was going to downgrade to the amalgam fees, we were able to, now I'm in Illinois, we were able to bill the difference to the patient up to a certain amount. So they would still have a certain amount that we could bill to, but we were able to get that difference from the patient.
And yes, and I'd say if you're participating, and typically, and when I was doing it, it was the difference between what they paid for the downgraded up to the allowed fee of this. So you can't always go all the way up to your fee, but you could Correct. Go up to that fee schedule most of the time. Yes. But I would say double check with your state to make sure that you're allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thanks, Kirk.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay, so now if you're a non-participating provider, right now you're considered out of network. So you do not have to honor the insurance's plan's fee schedule. You have not signed the contract with them. So you have freedom from those details, from those limitations. And then you can also, if you choose so, elect to have the reimbursements sent directly to the patient. So a couple of different ways, right, of being out of network. You can be where you receive the payments, or if you want the collect 100% at time of service and then have the check sent to the patient, that's up to you. You're able to do that, whatever works best for your team and your office. So some of the pros of being a non-participating provider is you present your full office fee. Many non-participating providers still present estimates just to allow for, you know, patients to have an idea of what coverage is going to be, but it's much easier because you don't have to worry about what is the fee schedule, what is this, right? You can say, hey, this is what we're estimating coverage to be. You'll still file on the patient's behalf. So that way you're still insurance friendly. You still will submit it electronically for the patient, so they don't have to worry about that. You don't need any predeterminations because once again, you're not limited to the insurance contract. And then if you do select to have reimbursement sent to the patients, it is typically much faster than when you receive the payment, sometimes by several weeks.
Mm-hmm. And also be aware too, if you're not participating with certain plans, they may not allow you to accept assignment. So be aware if it's only the patient who can receive the assignment of benefits, then you will need to collect that upfront if that's what your system is. So just be aware of that, because patient could get a check in the mail and they haven't paid you and they don't know, and they go out and spend it, and now you're waiting to collect it from the patient. So just be aware of that there are some plans that do not allow the doctor, if you're not participating, to accept that assignment.
Correct, right? And so that is a potential con, right? If the patients are paying you in full, they potentially will have to wait for the reimbursement. So typically it's only a con right in the beginning as you're making this transition, and patient, it's just new behaviors for the patients. But at first, that is something that you're going to have to overcome as a team. And you know, you'll have to go over those verbiage, right? Of patients will say, well, I'll just come and pay you when I receive my check. Right. So you'll have to make sure that your team is very comfortable at saying, you know, actually, our policy is that we're going to collect at time of service, and then you're free to do whatever you want with that check. So you also have to make sure that your team's verbiage is very strong while being empathetic. They have to really understand and have the confidence to work with those patients, because as we all know, patients can be very strong in their opinions of when and when they're not going to pay. So we want to make sure that we're even stronger, that we understand our policies, we understand the ins and outs of being a non-participating provider.
Yeah. And can I just add, Denise said in the chat, if a procedure is not covered by the plan, we don't bill it to the insurance because it's not covered. Sometimes that fee is higher than our UCR, but now the patient is responsible for the full amount. Can you comment on that?
I would say it is recommended that you bill everything to the insurance, whether it's covered or not covered.
Okay. Especially if you're contracted, there are some stipulations in your contract that you have to bill everything because they want to see and they want to be able to say you still have to take an adjustment, if especially if you're in one of those states that does not have a non-covered procedure clause. So just read your contract, because those contracts will sometimes state you must bill every single thing regardless of whether you know it's covered or not.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've educated, right? We're educating our team on being, you know, either participating or non-participating and what that means. So I really want you to reserve time in your team meetings to review this. Right? It can't be just a one time and done or in passing. Oh, hey, Ariel, just so you know, like, I want you to read over this and understand it. Is it's really going to take time in your team meetings. And I would say a couple of team meetings to go through this. Mm-hmm. And I am not a fan of role playing, mm-hmm. and I get it, but we have to, right? Because that's the only way. And we say, you know, you have to practice to gain those skills and to gain that confidence. And the only way you're going to do that is by sometimes fumbling over your words. And so you want to fumble with your team members versus when you get to your patients.
And Dr. Tu, if you would be uncomfortable yourself speaking to the patients about this, imagine how your team members are going to feel. So, right. So this is probably the thing that takes the most amount of time, is having your team be comfortable and confident in having these conversations. And you don't want to mess that up, because if we go back to the journey of the patient, if we make that one misstep in how we communicate this, we're going to lose them on the loyalty side. So this, while this seems like it takes a long time, it does, and it's worth it.
100%. This is, as Chris said, like, this is the most important part. Mm-hmm. So we also want to remove insurance from our vocabulary. I know sometimes we say it, right? But we want to really get into dental benefits, because we all know there's a difference between medical insurance and dental insurance. And patients are much more familiar with what it means to be medical. And we all know that dental does not work the same. So if we start saying dental benefits, it really just triggers in our patient's mind that it is different.
And this goes for whether or not you're in network or out of network. You could say, you know what, we want to participate with PPO. That's what we do, and we're happy to do that. That's totally fine. And we still want to put these things in place. You still want to communicate openly and honestly with the patients about what that means, because that patient may switch insurances and now it might be something you're not participating with, or maybe they're not going to have any insurance in the future. So these are really good skills to put into place for any practice, whether you participate or not.
So let's go ahead and get into some key phrases, such as maximizing your dental benefits. So, right, and how to answer some of these questions. So I would say the first part is utilize, well, we have a tool that's called Say This, Not That, and it's just a calibration tool for your team of different ways. What do you want to take out of your practice and what do you want to bring in regards to the verbal skills? So that way everyone is saying the same phrase, right? In the same way, right? We all have our own personality, but we want to make sure we're using the same verbiage to have a clear, consistent message to our patients. So some examples, you know, for the question of, do you take my insurance? So a lot of we'll hear is, nope, we're not a participating provider with your insurance, but do you still want to schedule? Right. And what I heard was no. So what I'm thinking is no. So, right. We want to say that, you know, we're an insurance friendly practice and we file to almost all insurances for our patients. Tell me more what you're looking for in a new dental home. So I acknowledge that they have the insurance, and now I'm turning it to, okay, but what are you wanting? What are you needing? And what are you valuing as a patient? So you change their mindset.
Mm-hmm. I heard a good quote about a year ago, and they said, we will work with any insurance who will work with us. And I thought that was really, really great. So, you know, just think about that. So sometimes insurances they're not as friendly as we want to be, but we are going to do our best to work with every single insurance company that wants to work with us.
Yeah. And along those same lines, some of the people that we coach, they'll say, we are an unrestricted provider. And they explain the same thing, but they, again, verbal skills matter. This is why this is so important. And I'll say one more thing. These webinars are so important because this is a changing game. The insurance game, I've been doing this a long time. It's more complicated than it's ever, ever, ever been. And you can't do enough education around understanding what it is and how to better respond to it.
100%. I mean, I'm still like, right, we're saying we're learning and we're re-upping our verbiage and we're changing, right, to be based off of what insurance is doing and what patients are valuing, right? So we know that since patients are valuing their insurance, a lot of time they're going to ask, will my insurance cover this, right? And so we want to acknowledge that. It sounds like you want more information about your investment. We're able to help you understand any limitations that your insurance may have towards this treatment that will help you achieve X, Y, and Z, right? So we're saying, hey, we're going to help you. We're going to understand that because we have to remember that patients want to know how to utilize their benefits because they're either have that job for it, right? They're paying additional for it. So they want to utilize it. So let's help them. Instead, you could say, well, your insurance only pays 50% on this, which is $500. Would you like to go ahead and book this? Right? So it's like, oh, so it's very, you're telling them the truth, right? And you're being very honest, right? But you're not explaining to them that, hey, this is a value. We're going to help you, right? It's just more of a negative mindset towards the patient.
And I love what you have in here too, Ariel, about the investment, right? It's not, I wouldn't even say fee, cost, anything. It's an investment because, you know, your smile, your teeth, and we know how everything is related in the body. That is an investment in your future health. And so I think it starts with educating the patient from that perspective too, about the value of keeping their mouth healthy and keeping the rest of them healthy.
Yeah. And the reason I started with saying investment was when you gave that estimate and the patient's like, oh, well, that's a lot, right? I could be like, well, yeah, it is, right? Or I can say, yes, I understand it is an investment. Mm-hmm. And now I'm acknowledging that to them, it is more than what they were thinking. But when it's saying it's not a cost,
right?
And that's how I started saying it. It's just because patients were coming back at me and I'm like, okay, how do I help this? Right. And as we're saying, right, language matters. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we get the, oh, my hygienist said I should come back in 3 months instead of 6, but will my insurance pay for this? Okay. And it's, you know, we can say that I understand, no problem. I'll find a time in 6 months so that we can follow your insurance frequency. Right. Well, one, we just devalued what the hygienist and the doctor has said the patient's care is, and we're letting insurance dictate that. Or we can help educate the patient and saying, you know, I understand how you feel. Other patients have felt this exact same way. We found that making our hygiene recommendations based on the individual risks and what versus what insurance restricts creates better long-term health. It also will help manage the risk of gum infection. I'm happy to help you understand what your investment would be for that, right? So letting them know that we're not recommending this based off of what insurance says you need, but based off of your individual risks. And, right, if they're coming back in 3 months, as we're saying, they have some gum infection that we really need to manage.
Mm-hmm. And I think we have this bolded for feel, felt, and found because that is the way that we can empathetically manage objections to whatever it is that we're presenting to the patient. So we understand how they feel, right? We're empathizing. We're saying, I get it. This may be a larger investment than you were considering originally. And then letting them know that there are other patients who felt the same way. So now they feel like they're not all by themselves out on an island, that you know, there are other people who have had the same circumstance. And then what we found, this is the solution to what it is that they're feeling, is that we need to align with the hygienist recommendations based on their own individual needs. So I think that if you think about it in terms of that, try to use those three words in your response to an objection that a patient may give you, or even a question that they may give you, you know, understand how they feel, understand that other patients have felt the same way, and here's what we have found works for them and ultimately for you. So it's a really great way to manage those objections in a very empathetic way and let the patient know that you're on their side.
So hopefully in these examples, you're seeing and you're hearing a common theme that yes is always the right answer, right? We always want to let our patients know that yes, we can do this. Yes, with these, right? Yes, so that they have a better understanding and it keeps the conversation open. Because as soon as you say no, there's really nothing else, right? I mean, yes, you can add in the question, but you say no, that's what the patient hears and that's what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. So we want insurance-friendly experience and we want to help them. So whether you participate with 10 plans, 20 plans, none, you can say yes to helping your patients understand and maximizing their benefits. So do you take my insurance? Yes, we have many happy patients here with that dental benefits plan. I'd love to learn more about you, your dental needs, so I can share how we can help maximize your benefits, right? So even if you're telling them that you're an unrestricted provider and what that means, it's always, yes, this is how we can help you. And so we want, as we've said, right, the main focus is your patient, not their benefit plan. So yes, we want to be honest, we want to be concise when answering the questions, right? As we hear a lot of times, sometimes we explain and we're answering everything that we can. However, sometimes that also overwhelms the patient. So be concise and let them drive the conversation back to what they're wanting and what they're needing to help with that value. Mm-hmm.
So Ariel, can I ask a question? Frank asked the question, how do you handle the question, Are you in network with my insurance? If you are out of network, but you do accept the dental benefits and the patient pays their copay.
So if we're out of network, right? And the patient that is asking, are you in network? So I would say, you know, we're considered an unrestricted provider with that dental insurance. Do you mind if I explain what that means and how those benefits will work? Right? Or how we can help maximize those benefits. So you can go right into, I want you to be honest, right? And we don't want to say, you know, oh yeah, we're happy to bill that for you, right? They're asking, are you in network? Do you accept this insurance? Is yes, we accept it. We are an unrestricted provider. What that may mean is, right? And right. Then you go into the explanation. And sometimes teams always may say too, like, oh, well, that means your reimbursement will look different. I want to say may look different because until you know their patient's plan, you mm-hmm. don't really know. Some of those non-participating providers are still getting paid very well and very good reimbursement rates.
And in terms of say this, not that, I would actually stay away from the term copay when you're talking about a dental visit. Because a copay is a $20 for an office visit at your medical doctor. And that is not what we're talking about. So I would actually like strike that from your vocabulary and use patient portion or patient investment or this, you know, just like we talked about earlier. So copay has such a connotation of $20 for an office visit or $10 for an office visit in people's minds because they're thinking of it like medical insurance, and that's just not what it is. So I would definitely lean into the patient portion or patient investment when you're explaining that to them. Try not to say copay at all.
Yeah. Getting so many comments. This is an excellent presentation. People have questions. Another question that just came up in the feed is, how do you respond when a patient asks, which insurances do you take?
We will work with any insurance company who will work with us.
Yeah. Right. And because they're probably asking like, oh, because if it's open enrollment time or, you know, they're wanting to go ahead and maximize that, you know, but you can... And I don't know your practice, right? And maybe you do take and you're a participating provider now, but I would hate to tell the patient that and then 6 months later you change your mind and then you go out, right? Now you've just hurt that trust, even though you were very honest, right? And I would say, you know, are you considering one, right? Like, try to dive deeper into what they're really asking you.
Yeah. And then one more question Melissa asked, what's the verbiage of the last point, number three?
Was it the last point on number three?
Oh, maybe just on the...
Oh, and number three, do you take... Oh, okay, there we go.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Do you take my insurance? Yes, we have many happy patients here with that dental benefits plan. I'd love to learn more about you and your dental needs so I can share how we can help maximize your benefits.
Yeah.
And that is really important too. Again, going back to the whole like herd mentality, like there are many, many patients with that same plan. We can share with you how they prefer to use it and how they utilize it in our office and things like that. So I think that's a really helpful sentence to use with patients when they're asking that question.
So if you are moving towards to becoming unrestricted or non-participating, right, you're going to get the question, so you aren't taking my insurance anymore. Just be honest, you know, we've changed our relationship with this insurance company so that we're less restricted by their terms, right? And then let them know what that means. So this means we can better work with our patients to make decisions about their care that best supports their oral health goals. Would it be okay if I share how this may change or affect your visits, right? And sometimes it doesn't affect it, but I want to let them know that yes, we've changed our relationship with it. And a lot of times I'll just have teams tell them is, you know, we do not want to sacrifice the quality of care that we provide for our patients. And we were unable to do that while still being a participating provider. So, you know, and we can even, if the patient needs more information, right, you can see that they're still asking, you know, we can let them know that the doctors have thought really long and hard about making it and just felt like it wasn't fair to the patients. Mm-hmm. We're still working with this insurance. We'll still be able to advocate in submitting everything you need, and to help you receive as much reimbursement as possible. And it just may look different, right? As we said, if the reimbursement is going back to the patient, that's something they're going to need to know. But if you're still receiving it, you can let them know. No, we're still submitting on your behalf. You'll still be paying your patient portion or your investment at the time of service, and then we'll receive the check from insurance and handle it from there, right? And if you ask them, is it okay how I share this may affect you, right? Then you're opening up. They're allowing you to have that conversation with them. And then, like you said, right, is how a lot of patients are happy to hear that we're still doing all of the legwork, right? We're on behalf, we're going to fight for our patients and utilize their plan towards their care. And we're going to let them know that we're making decisions based off of their care and their specific needs, not based off their insurance restrictions.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? Sandra Brand asked the question, what do we tell patients that come to our office that end up having an HMO plan and we are non-participating providers?
I would just be honest, you know, with this specific plan that you have, we are a non-participating provider, which means you are still welcome to come here and receive services. You just will not, your dental plan will not help towards that care.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we could find that information out ahead of time too and save the patient some time. So just doing a little bit of homework on the front end when that first phone call comes, you know, obviously we want to build relationship with that call. That's a whole other webinar. And, you know, understanding about the patient and why they called us and then have that be a part of it so that we don't have them waste their time. Now, again, to Ariel's point, they can absolutely still come to our office. And I just want people to have all of the information before they make that decision, because this is a little bit different from someone who's not participating in a PPO, because those benefits will defray mm-hmm. some of their expenses in the dental office or their investment in the dental office. But with an HMO plan, they're not going to get any out-of-network benefits at all.
Correct. And we don't want to ever do the bait and switch, right? To make Correct. Patients feel that, you know, we tricked them into seeing us, because that doesn't set a trust foundation, right? No. So we're insurance friendly. We'll help you maximize your benefits. Here's how we can help. And if they have an HMO plan, we're not able to maximize their benefits. So it's going to be their choice. We're happy to bill your dental insurance, you know, your dental benefits plan. We want to maximize your available benefits, all in the positive. What can we do to help you and maximize those benefits? We understand that your benefits are important to you. If you're willing, I would like to start with some important information about you and what you're looking for to accomplish as a patient here. And then I can share more with you specifically how your dental benefits work. So, right, if you get that new patient phone call and they're specifically asking you about insurance, I really want your team to build a relationship the best that they can on the phone prior to going into dental benefits, right? Because once again, the more we talk about dental benefits, the more the patients are going to value it.
And there's a question about that. Like, what if they just want to go to an in-network provider? And that's totally fine. You don't have to see every single patient who is coming to your door or picking up the phone. You have to be a little bit picky about who you plan to spend your time with. That's the whole freedom part of it. There are plenty of fine, fine offices who can take that patient and do a great job with them. And you know, you just don't have to see them if that's all that they're asking for.
Yeah, I totally agree. And another one that came in through a one-on-one chat here. If you decide to go out of network and the insurance sends out a letter to the patient stating that we are out of network, the patient takes it as they can't come here anymore. How would you explain that to the patients?
So one, we always want to be proactive instead of reactive whenever possible. And I would say if you are switching to go to an unrestricted provider, I would just say, hey, insurance is probably going to send this letter. So do the work ahead of time to be able to communicate with your patients, letting them know that we're changing our relationship with your insurance company. This is what that means. Don't be surprised if you receive a letter from them saying that you can no longer come here. I want to let you know that that is false and that you are able to still come here. You are able to still utilize your benefits. We've checked your plan. You do have out-of-network benefits. So just letting them know, right? And then even if so, communicating in person, if you can't communicate in person, right, giving them that phone call. We have a lot of teams that send a letter ahead of time. So that way, because we all know that we don't read a ton of letters. So if you read mine first, hopefully you ignore the second one that comes, right? Or the patient says, oh yeah, I knew they were going to send this. And then they disregard it.
Right, right. I think that proactivity is the key there. And we've even seen a couple of instances where the employer will send a letter to the employees, letting them know that that particular dentist is no longer in network. So, you know, again, being as proactive as possible, of course, the insurance company is going to tell the patient who, you know, that they shouldn't go to you because in all likelihood, the out-of-network benefits are higher, the higher fee schedule than in-network benefits. So they're going to have more, they're going to be paying out more when you're out of network than when you're in network.
100%, right? And so that's where we can say, you know, the good news is your plan or your benefits are going to help you with this treatment. Other questions?
Yes, there's tons. I think we should add this as we were going through this. It's amazing how many I've got chats on the left and the right. There's so many questions and I want to answer as many of them as we can, but also add some final thoughts to this. This is such an important webinar and we're starting down this path. We're going to continuously bring you guys great information. I'll just add this is that if you're a dentist or a team member listening to this and you're like, no way, we couldn't do this. That's what's called the limiting belief. We work with people all the time and go, you don't understand my area. Maybe not, but the truth of it is that this is still America. If you're in the United States or North America, you can still choose how to practice. And I think the ultimate thing is you have to decide if what you do is valuable for people. You just have to, you know, you're watching a webinar on a Thursday. That means you care. And I would say this, the money spent on dentistry is one of the best investments a human being can make. Now, I believe that. My question is, does your team believe that? And once you start to believe that, you can say, we're going to start charging what we're worth, and we're going to start taking care of people that value what we do, and our team is going to be the best trained on the planet. And so you might think, oh, we're you know, riding unicorns here from La La Land on this non. But I'll tell you, we work with a lot of practices that used to participate and they don't participate and they love it and they would never go back. And I'm not telling you to do that, but I will tell you that they went on a behavioral journey where they said, we're going to be the best on the phone when it comes to this. And those people get the same phone calls you get. When you are non-participating, it's not like people go, I got a ton of cash. I don't know. I know you don't accept. Can you just prep all these teeth for me? They don't get, they get the same phone calls you do. The difference is their admin team members are exceptionally trained. So while this might sound like quite the effort to learn all of this, it's worth every minute to learn how to navigate this, understand why people are asking these questions. And if you're a dentist, help your team best deal with this because it's going to make their job more fulfilling than ever. That they're like, it won't work with every patient, but if 3 out of 10 say yes, you're going to go, oh my gosh, that worked. And then 4 out of 10. And then you'll start to change the entire patient base over time. So any thoughts you guys have? And I'll try to answer all these questions that are coming in like crazy. Holy moly.
I think from admin perspective too, we often use the open-ended questions from the clinical aspect, but as an admin team member, that's a great opportunity for you to learn more about the patient and why they're asking the question and what it is that they hope to gain. So don't think that open-ended questions are just for clinical conversations. They can be for the administrative conversations as well. So try not to close those conversations off with yes and no responses and just let the patient talk and listen to them and find out where they're coming from. The more you learn about them, the more you're going to help them to be motivated by the treatment you can provide and not by what's part of their network.
Yeah. Ariel, do you have any final thoughts? And then we'll just stick around as long as you guys can to answer questions.
No, I mean, I think, you know, as Chris was saying, is use those open-ended questions and don't assume you know what the patient is asking, because a lot of time they ask, are you taking new patients? Do you accept my insurance? Because they don't know what else to ask to start the conversation. So it's just kind of that opening for them because they haven't been educated on, well, you need to call and ask this, right? They don't know. So don't assume and use those questions to see more of what they're wanting from you before you just get into a solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sarah asked the question, if a patient's portion is too high with insurance we're in network with compared to scheduling without insurance, how do we help the patient?
I guess I can you repeat that, Kirk?
If a patient's portion is too high with the insurance we're in network with compared to without insurance, how can we help the patient?
I'm misunderstanding. So if they have insurance and their patient portion is going to be higher than if they didn't have insurance?
Yeah, yes. I don't really.
That's why I threw you the question.
I mean, as Ariel said earlier, part of the freedom that you have is that you can provide patients with any courtesy you want. Just have to let the insurance company know if you're in network. Again, we mentioned earlier, you do have to bill every single thing to the insurance company, including when you provide a courtesy to that patient. So you can still do that. Or if that's the case, if that's like a rule, maybe consider dropping that insurance if the out-of-network benefits are higher.
Right. Yeah.
And here's a comment from Denise. We are going out-of-network with Delta Dental, and I'm taking the time to go through each patient plan so that they know the difference between in-network and out-of-network. I also have Delta through my husband's insurance, and so I'm waiting on to see the letter that we'll be receiving from the insurance. And I'll just tell you, we have many of them. I call them smear letters. They are terrible, and they have the ability to send them and just make you sound like a terrible office. And that's why you have to be proactive to what Ariel and Chris said. And really, in the future, it's all going to be about trust. And so the better that you can communicate, that's why I'm going to say it a million times, verbal skills matter. You know, train your team, invest in your team. Like, how do we say this better? How do we listen better? Because with that, you will gain trust.
Mm-hmm. Our clients, Ariel, you can speak to this too. Are the ones who do drop Delta, drop all of their insurance, they do not lose all of their patients. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, sometimes they do it because they're so over capacity, and they are still over capacity after they drop. You know, they did it the right way. And it takes a long time. As we said, you can't just make this decision and send your letter off to Delta and hope that your team is going to be ready in 30 days. You really need to plan this out and be very, very strategic about it. If that's your goal. If it's not your goal and you want to stay in network, that's totally fine. But use the verbal skills that we talked about. You know, do those skills trainings with your team to just understand and communicate about what insurance is and isn't with the patients.
Yeah. And I got a private message here too. Would you guys be able to comment on this? I get the whole non-participating thing, but we're a DSO and we're not in the position to drop PPOs. We don't make those decisions. Like, I mean, give us some perspective on that. And I'll add mine, which is, it's the whole serenity prayer. There are things we can control and there are things that we can't. And I'm going to embrace the things that we can control as much as we can and get as good as we can on those. And in that, find some meaning. What would you guys say?
I would say still use, right, the tips and the tricks of what can we do and how, you know, even if you're participating and you're never going to be a non-participating provider, you still have to know the dental insurance benefits. You still have to know how to communicate with the patients and understanding how to have those conversations, right? You'll still have non-covered services. You'll still have covered services and limitations. So really, I think you can use all of that information on educating the patient, and still you don't have to focus on the insurance, right? Utilize the dental benefits, because even if they're in network and they are going to take a contract write-off, that's okay, right? But there's still going to be limitations that the patient can still receive additional services. So we don't want to continue to say, you know, oh, well, you only get 2 cleanings per year, right? If they're perio maintenance, just say, you know, this is what your plan is going to help contribute towards. And this is the care that our doctor or our hygienist has diagnosed for you.
Yeah. So many other questions still coming in. I just want to thank you guys. Great job, Ariel. Great job, Chris. Just so well done. And there will be a copy of the webinar. If you registered for it, you'll get it tomorrow. If you're listening to this on any other version, whether it be the podcast or anything, you can see it down in the notes, or you can just email our team members. Gina, G-I-N-A, is probably the best one to speak to about this. We're going to keep bringing this stuff so it's at your fingertips and you can help your team navigate through this stuff. So please let us know other topics we should cover and we'll bring it. So thank you both so much. That was awesome.
What's our next webinar, Kirk?
Yeah, the next webinar. Yeah. So Ariel's.
It is the Leadership Blueprint, Elevating Your Dental Practice Culture with Miranda and Adriana. See, and that's going to be on February 29th.
Do not miss that one. That'll be amazing.
Yeah. One of the secrets is to surround yourself with great people who know what's going on all the time. So, and in that theme, Miranda Beeson, our director of education, she's putting these together to be topic specific with our expert coaches. And that is an excellent one. You do not want to miss that. Our webinars are on Thursdays, and we encourage you to register for them, have team members register for them. If you don't get there live, which we're going to encourage you to do, you'll get the replay. And at the end of the day, we just want to help you create a better practice and a better life. Sign up for the BPA. I promise you, you're going to absolutely love it. It's a great membership where you can continue. The conversation continues back in the BPA, where you can ask questions and we'll help you every step of the way. If you're a dentist and you haven't come to the Top Study Club, what are you thinking? Just come. You'll love it. And you'll get some great food. You'll get to meet some incredible people and you'll leave very, very inspired. So thank you guys for showing up today.
Reach out to Gina for any of that information.
Yeah. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep tuning in and we'll keep bringing it. So have a great day, everybody. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.